So you've decided you want to buy a dental practice. Maybe you consider doing a startup, but you've since learned it's so much more profitable and you can make money so much quicker if you buy an existing practice. But the problem is, you don't know where to find a practice for sale. When I first graduated, I was in that exact situation. I wanted to be a practice owner as quickly as possible, but I could not find a practice for sale. I didn't know how to find practice for sale. I didn't even know where to look. So I considered doing a startup. I ran the numbers. I did the math. A startup just didn't make sense when I could buy an existing practice, but I didn't know where to find a practice for sale. So today I want to talk about the strategies that I wish I knew at that time, how to find dental practices for sale. My name is Chris, and I help dentists buy dental practices. And today I'm going to show you how to find the best possible practices for sale so that you can become an owner as quickly as possible. The dental transitions market is just a complete world in and of itself. And if you've never bought or sold a practice before, it's something that you're just not going to understand how it works. So I want to make sure that you understand that before we move forward. Let's start from the perspective of a seller. If you are a dentist who's ready to retire, you have this successful practice, and you know that this practice is worth something, but you don't know exactly how much it's worth and you don't know who to sell it to, you're probably going to reach out to what's called a practice broker. Now, brokers are individuals who help dentists sell their practices to other dentists. Practice brokers are a lot like realtors. When you buy a house, you hire a realtor to help you look at different houses. When you're selling a house, you hire a realtor to post your house on the different platforms and find people to buy your house. Practice brokers are very similar to that. They help the sellers to sell their practice. The big difference, though, is that unlike with real estate, there is a system that is in place where there's a buyer's representative, a seller's representative. The seller pays a commission, usually about 6%. Half is going to go to the buyer's rep, half is going to go to the seller's rep. With dental practices, that type of arrangement doesn't actually exist. And so when a seller hires a practice broker, they're usually going to pay something like a 10% commission on that practice. But that practice broker does not share that commission with anyone else. A realtor is going to show you every single house on the market, because no matter if it's a house that they personally have listed or not, they're still going to get a commission. But with practice brokers, they're only going to show you the practices that they personally have listed, because they want that 10% commission that they're going to get for selling that practice. If they refer you to another practice broker and you look at a different listing and you buy a different practice, they're going to get 0%. They're not going to make any money from you if they refer you to someone else. So they are only going to show you and tell you about practices that they personally have listed for sale. And so as a result, if you are a dentist who wants to buy a practice, you're going to have to reach out to every single practice broker in your area. So I help dentists buy practices. I talk to a lot of different dentists. One of the biggest misunderstandings that I have found when clients first reach out to me is they say, "Hey, Chris, I have been looking and I cannot find a practice at all. There's no practices for sale in my area. What am I going to do? There's no practices. It's not an option." And I ask them, "How many practice brokers have you reached out to?" And they say, "Oh yeah, I reached out to a practice broker." You cannot just reach out to a practice broker. There are probably at least 10 different practice brokers in your area, if not more. And you need to reach out to every single one, because they're not going to tell you about practices that other brokers have listed for sale. So just because you've reached out to a practice broker does not mean that you have looked at all the practices on the market. It means that you've looked at 1/10 of the practices on the market. So I've just got a quick Google search here pulled up. I just typed in dental practice brokers on Google. And you'll see there are just a ton of different brokers on here. Henry Schein is a good one. ADS Dental Transitions, DDS Match, Paragon, Dental Strategic Legacy Practice Transitions, US Dental Practices, Provide's a bank, but they do have this webpage where you can see some practices that are listed for sale. Provide doesn't actually sell practices. They just have listings from brokers. So Dental Strategic was the one who posted this. We already mentioned them earlier. Choice Transitions, Elite Transitions. Generally, what I recommend is if you're trying to find a practice for sale, just type in where you want to buy a practice. Dental practice brokers in Texas. And you'll see some of the same ones that we saw before, but Watson and Brown, here's one that just works in the Texas area. Definitely worth reaching out to. Texas Practice Transitions. All right. So they just work in Texas. So you need to reach out to them. Triumphant Partners, Wingspan Transitions, Practice Transition Group. Now, let's say you're in California. California is pretty big, so you might want to say the certain area that you're in. So Dental practice broker is in San Francisco. And you're just going to go through and you're going to find every single practice broker here. And you're going to email them, you're going to call them, you're going to reach out, and you're going to say, hey, I'm looking to buy a practice. And remember, you have to reach out to every single practice broker in your area, because they are not going to show you practices that other brokers have listed. So how long should it take you to find a practice for sale? It's primarily going to depend on how large of a radius you are willing to search for practices that are for sale. The more flexible you are in location, the easier it's going to be to find a practice. This is obvious. If you're limiting yourself to a very specific city, it's going to be harder to find a practice than if you're willing to look in an entire state or an entire region. I've helped some dentists buy some practices in some really, really small cities where they've been very specific in what they wanted to buy and where they wanted to live. It can work out, but sometimes it can take a while. Just, you got to understand that if you're limiting your geographic search range, it's going to take a little longer than if you're willing to search a larger range. But generally, I say it takes at least 6 months to find a practice for sale. When you first reach out to practice brokers, they are going to show you the practices that they have had listed for a while and haven't been able to sell. The best dental practices, the ones that are truly worth buying, oftentimes will sell within a week, sometimes less, of when they're listed. So the chances of you reaching out to a broker right when a brand new amazing practice was just listed is not likely going to happen. You're going to reach out to the broker and the broker is going to say, I've had this practice on the market for 6 months and no one has been gullible enough to buy it. I want to see if this new dentist who's just called me is going to be willing to fall for this one, buy it, because they want to get their commission. It's not going to be a good practice for you to buy, but it still might cost $1 million, which means if the practice broker is getting a 10% commission on $1 million, that's $100,000. That's why practice brokers are very, very motivated to try to sell you practices, because it's extremely profitable for them. If you buy the right practice, it can be extremely profitable and it can dramatically increase the quality of your life. You can have so much more freedom, control, just living a better life, having a better job. If you buy the wrong practice, though, it can really, really be a headache. It can be a mess if you buy the wrong practice. Oftentimes, buying the wrong practice is worse than just staying at your associate job. So don't even consider buying a practice if it's not the right practice for you. When I evaluate practices with my clients, 85% of practices clients have sent me over the last year, I have recommended they do not buy. Only about 15% of practices that I evaluate pass the standards of what I would consider a good practice to buy. Chances are, if it's the first practice you're looking at, it is not going to be the one worth buying. So if the initial practices the brokers show you are not worth buying, how do you find a good practice to buy? You need to continue to reach out to brokers over a period of time, maybe 5 to 6 months. And generally what'll happen is after you have been talking to a broker for a few months, they'll send you an email out of the blue with a practice that is actually interesting and actually worth buying. When you get an email like that, you need to move quick, because 100 other dentists might be receiving that same exact email. From the perspective of a practice broker, their goal is to sell this practice as quickly as possible, as easy as possible, and for as much money as possible. Sometimes if a practice comes to market and you've been talking to a broker, you live in a certain area, you have a certain type of practice you want to buy, the broker is very clear on what you're looking for. This practice might be absolutely perfect for you, and the broker might say, hey, I know Dr. Smith is looking for a practice just like this. I'm going to send this to Dr. Smith before I send out this email to 100 other dentists, just to see if Dr. Smith is interested, because if Dr. Smith will buy this practice before anyone else, then it's going to be fewer emails that I have to respond to. It's going to be less work. Once a practice broker puts a practice online, they might be receiving emails from all sorts of people who aren't actually that serious and just wasting their time. If you present yourself to the brokers as someone who knows exactly what you want, is going to be easy to work with, already has financing lined up with the banks and is ready to go, well, then the practice broker is going to think of you as a very high-end client. They're going to send you the practices before they send them to anyone else, and you might see practices before they even hit the market, and you might get some time to decide if this practice is worth purchasing. So your goal, reach out to as many brokers as possible, get on their email lists, and be in contact with them. Send them a follow-up email once every few weeks. Say, hey, I'm still looking for a practice. This is what I'm looking for. This is where I am right now. Do you have anything available? If you don't, make sure to keep me in mind if something does become available. Until you have done this for at least 6 months, do not tell me there are no practices for sale in my area, Because the reality is, there probably are, and you're not working hard enough to find them. But what happens if after 6 months of reaching out to brokers, you still have not found a practice to buy? There are a few other ways you can find practices for sale. However, I would leave these as kind of a second to third resort. First, I would focus on practice brokers. The reason is, if a seller is actually serious about selling, they are likely going to hire a practice broker. If you find an off-market deal, there is a pretty high risk that you spend a lot of time and energy. Maybe you even leave your job because you're planning on buying this practice, and then the seller decides for whatever reason at the last moment they're not going to sell. You've just wasted a ton of money, a ton of time, and now you're going to have to find another associate job because the sale didn't go through. This is why you need to make sure the seller is absolutely serious about selling. And I have found that when sellers hire practice brokers, they are much more serious than if they are just, maybe I'll sell one day, maybe I'll retire eventually. One of the biggest mistakes you can make is going to work as an associate for a dentist because the dentist says, I'm probably going to sell my practice soon. And you think if I work as an associate for this dentist, he'll sell me his practice later. That is a terrible idea. Sometimes dentists think they're going to retire and then they get an associate that comes in. Their life just becomes so much easier. So if you're working as an associate for that dentist, you're making extra money for that dentist. That dentist is no longer interested in retiring because they're making so much money. They're working less. Their lives are improving. So they're like, I don't want to retire yet. And then you're stuck working for this dentist. So that is a strategy I absolutely do not recommend. Do not take an associate job because you think you're going to be able to buy that practice later. If you can't find a practice through brokers, here are a few additional strategies you can use sparingly. Number one, you can reach out to supply and equipment reps and ask if they know anyone that's interested in selling their practice. Sometimes you'll find decent practices this way. I helped a dentist recently buy a practice who found it through a supply rep. It happens. Sometimes dentists have not got to the point where they've reached out to a broker, but they maybe let their equipment or supply reps know, hey, I'm probably going to sell sometime soon. Equipment and supply reps, they love doing favors for you because they're hoping you'll sign up to use their services after you buy the practice. A final way to find practices for sale is to send out letters directly to offices saying that you are interested in buying. Especially if you're looking in a smaller city, maybe a more rural area, it might actually make sense to send out letters if there's only 10 or 15 dentists in the city that you're looking in. If you're looking in a bigger geographic range, you know, you're looking in all of California, that's not going to be realistic to send out letters to everyone. So the letter strategy is primarily if you're in a smaller city, but sometimes that can be pretty effective if you send out letters to the 15 dentists in your city, and maybe one of them is interested in selling soon. And if you can reach them before a broker reaches them, well, then that increases the chances of you closing on that practice rather than them selling to someone else. So if practice brokers are working for the seller, not for you as the buyer, what can you do to protect yourself when you're buying a practice? If you've never bought a practice before and you're not familiar with how the process works, you can get taken advantage of if you're not careful. Key number one is making sure you're buying the right practice. You're buying a practice that has a lot of active patients that you're going to be able to either replicate or increase the production at that practice so that you can grow the practice. Number two is you need to make sure you're paying a fair price for the practice. You do not want to dramatically overpay on these types of practices. Number three is financing. You need to make sure you're not getting taken advantage of with financing. If you reach out to the wrong bank, you might be overpaying by maybe 2% on your interest rate. When you buy a dental practice for maybe $1.5 million, and you're also buying the real estate for that practice, even if your interest rate is only 0.5% to 1% higher, it might cost you an additional $100,000 or more over the course of that loan. There's also the letter of intent. There's the asset purchase agreement. There's the lease agreement. There are all sorts of documents and agreements and things that you're not familiar with yourself. Do not try to do this alone. You need to hire advisors to help you. Generally, I recommend hiring someone who has a clinical background to help you evaluate the clinical portion of the practice, hiring someone with a financial background to understand the financials of the practice. You're going to need to hire a lawyer to help you with the legal aspects. And you're also going to need to hire an accountant once you get closer to closing. Now, be very careful about thinking that you can just ask an accountant to help you evaluate whether a practice is worth purchasing. I do not recommend using accountants for this purpose. When you buy a practice, you absolutely need to have an accountant help you prepare your taxes. Hiring a good CPA could save you thousands and thousands of dollars, because they can help you learn how to better file your taxes and better keep your finances organized. But hiring an accountant to help you evaluate a practice is simply a bad idea. The problem is that just because a practice was profitable for the seller does not mean it's going to be profitable for you as the buyer. If you have an advisor that's evaluating a practice based upon the revenue or the profit of the practice in the previous year, based upon the seller's production and the seller's way of running the business, you are not getting a clear indication of what you as the buyer are going to be able to do. I have seen practices in the same city, both with very similar levels of production, and one is a great practice to buy and one is a terrible practice to buy. One, if you buy it, you're likely going to make $500,000 to $800,000 your first year. Another one, if you buy it, you likely are going to go out of business or just make very little money, probably less than you were making at your associate job. There's so much more that goes into a business than just the revenue of that business. People ask me all the time, how much should I pay for this practice? I've heard you should pay blank, blank, blank percentage of revenue for a practice, 80% of revenue for a practice. That is not a good way to look at practices because revenue doesn't mean that much. I have seen practices generating $1.5 million in revenue, but they only have 200 to 300 recall patients. And I've seen practices generating $600,000 to $700,000 in revenue, about half the size or less, with 2,000 to 3,000 recall patients. So like 10x the number of recall patients, but half the production. So which practice do you want to buy? The one where you're going to come in and there's only going to be 300 patients on your schedule for the entire year, and they've already been overproduced like crazy. They have veneers on all of their teeth. They have all these crowns done. They've had Invisalign. They've had endo. They've had implants. They have been treatment planned like crazy. They don't have anything left to do. Or you find a practice that has a huge number of active patients. The dentist was slowing down. The dentist wasn't doing crowns and veneers and ortho on these patients. So you come in, you're going to have so much work to do. So not only do you have 3,000 patients on your schedule over the next year, but each patient that you do an exam on, you're comprehensively treatment planning, a ton of work, and your schedule is just packed. You're producing an enormous amount of money. You could potentially double or triple the revenue in a practice like that just within a few years. If you buy the practice that has already been over treatment planned like crazy and doesn't have very many active patients, you're going to come in and production is going to drop and you're not going to know what to do. You're not going to understand. You're then going to have to market. You're going to have to get a billboard. You're going to have to start doing Google AdWords and Facebook ads to try to get patients in your door. You're spending additional money in addition to the money you already spent on that practice to try to get patients in there because you're worried you're going to go out of business. If you buy that practice that had 3,000 active patients and it was only producing $600,000 or $700,000 in the previous year, you are never going to need to do marketing at this practice. Like this, you could have an associate work at that practice with you probably from day one, and both of your schedules would be filled. You are going to have plenty of work. But if you buy the wrong practice, you could be in for a real mess. So do not just look at revenue. Both of those practices had the same revenue. They might have even had the same profit for the seller. They might, to an accountant, look very similar, but to someone who actually understands how to run a business, they are very, very different practices, and your outcomes as a buyer are going to be very different depending on which practice you buy. Being a practice owner means a better lifestyle, a higher income, more freedom, more control, just all around a better job when you own your practice versus working as an associate. But that's only if you buy the right practice. If you buy the wrong practice, it could be considerably worse than your associate job. Instead of just going in and working and then going home and relaxing, you're stuck at the office in the evening working on mistakes and trying to fix things because the office isn't running well. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be in there on the weekends. You're going to be making less money. If you buy the wrong office, you are going to be really unhappy that you bought that practice. But if you buy the right practice, it could be one of the best decisions you've ever made or ever will make, at least career-wise, financially. Make sure you buy the right practice. Don't just buy the first practice you find. If you say, hey, I can't find any other practices in my area, I'm just going to buy this one even though it's not perfect, be very careful with that. If you're going to buy the wrong practice, just don't buy a practice at all. If you want to be an owner, take the time to do this right. Find a good practice to buy. Find the right practice, and you will be extremely happy that you did so. But if you buy the wrong practice, you are going to regret it.